B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Lamed Vov. We're going to start from the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Hei Omed Beis. Says the Mishnah, Bo loy etzel pori. At this point in the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol is now dressed in his white clothes in the Big Day Lovon, and he's going to start the next part of the Avodah. The Bo loy comes, the Kohen Gadol comes etzel pori, towards and stands next to his bull, the one that was going to atone for his Averis and for his family's Averis. Uporoi hayo imed, and where was his bull, where was it standing? It was standing between Beina Ulam la Mizbeach, between the Ulam, which was the entranceway into the Heichal, and the Mizbeach. Now the Ulam was very wide, as was the Mizbeach, but as we've learned, the Mizbeach was somewhat moved to the left, to the Dorim of the Ulam, and between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, that's where his bull would be standing. Roishoi ledorim, the head of the bull was towards the Dorim, Uponov leMayriv, and the face of the bull was facing Mayriv. The Gemara is soon going to discuss how can that be. Make up your mind. Was he facing Dorim? Was it facing Mayriv? V'akoyin oimid b'mizrach, and the Kohen was standing closer to the Mizrach than the bull. Upon of leMayriv, and the face of the Kohen Gadol, was facing Mayriv. V'soymich shtei yod of olav, he would lean his two hands on his bull, umisvada, and he would do vidui, he would make his confession. V'kachoy oimer, this is what he would say. Ono Hashem, he was beseeching Hashem, he would say Hashem's name. Ovisi poshati chotosi. Ovisi is doing Averis intentionally. He says, I may have transgressed and done Averis intentionally. Poshati, I may have even done it from a rebellious place. Chotosi, or even by mistake sometimes. Lefanecho, before you, ani, myself, the Kohen Gadol, ubeisi, and my home, my family. Ono Hashem, we're beseeching Hashem, kapirno, atone, forgive and atone, la'avoinois v'lepshoim u'lechatoim, to the Averis we did intentionally, to the Averis we did from a rebellious place, and for the Averis we did by mistake. She'ovisi u'sheposhati u'shechotosi lefonecho, ani uveisi, kakosuv b'soiras Moshe, as it says in Toiras Moshe, in the Torah we received via Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai, avdecho, Moshe your servant. And what does it say in the Torah? Ki bayoyim hazeh, on this day, referring to Yom Kippur, yechaper aleichem letayer eschem mikol chatoiseichem lifnei Hashem titoru. That's what the Kohen Gadol would say. V'hein oinin, and all the people who were there, who were witness to this, and heard the Kohen Gadol making his confession, they would answer acharav after him, boruch shem kvoid malchusoy le'olam voed, since they heard the Kohen Gadol expressing, verbalizing Hashem's name, they would all say, boruch shem kvoid malchusoy le'olam voed. Says the Gemara, Man shomasle de Omar bein ulom la mizbeach tzofin. And this goes as follows. We assume that the bull was standing where it was standing, and that because that's the place, even though we haven't yet discussed it, we've only discussed the leaning and the confession on the bull, we have not yet discussed the place of the shechita, but we're going to learn later that the confession was done where the smicha, the leaning was done where the shechita was going to be done. And we know that the shechita of any kotrim has to be done on the tzofin side of the azara, which means from the center, any place, the tzofin side, the whole, so to speak, right-hand side of the azara, which was from the middle of the entrance of the ulam until the wall of the tzofin. Now, the azara itself had a number of different areas. We've discussed them previously. When we first walked through the Sha'ar Nikonor into the azara, there was the 11 amos of the Ezras Yisrael. And then the Ezras Yisrael had a tzofen side and a dorim side. And then the next 11 amos into the azara was the Ezras Koyanim. Again, there was a tzofen there and a dorim. And then there was the 32 amos of the Mizbeach. There was the tzofen of the Mizbeach. And then there was on the Dorim of the Mizbeach was where the ramp was. So there's again Tzofin and Dorim. And then there's beyond the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, where again the area is split into Tzofin and Dorim. Kochei Kochim must be shechted al Yerech HaMizbeach. It must be shechted at the foot of the Mizbeach on the Tzofin side. So everybody agrees that the main place, the most opportune place where Kodshei Kodshim should be shechted is on the tzofin side of the Mizbeach. How about the tzofin side of the Azorah? Before the Mizbeach, further Mizrach to the Mizbeach, where the Ezras Yisrael and Ezras Kohenim was, how about the tzofin side of the Azorah beyond the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam? Can one shecht Kodshei Kodshim there? And this is going to be a three-way machlokes we're about to see now. And the question is that our Mishnah that says that this bull was standing bein ha'ulam la'mizbeach, obviously it was standing from halfway line towards the tzofin, because it was on the tzofin side. The Tanna of our Mishnah must hold that even beyond the mizbeach, not just adjacent on the tzofin of the mizbeach, but beyond the mizbeach, between the mizbeach and the ulam, on the tzofin side of the Azorah, was also considered tzofin, and one can shecht the Kodshei Kodshim there. Man shomusle, who is this opinion? So let's see the three opinions. Well, before that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, for some reason, the Gemara assumes it's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, of the three opinions we're about to see. Let's work it through. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. It says, a Braisa in Zvochim, Ezehu tzofin. What is considered tzofin? So it says the Braisa, Mikir shel Mizbeach, from the tzofin wall of the Mizbeach, tzfoini, the Mizbeach, Mikir shel Mizbeach, tzfoini, from the tzofin wall of the Mizbeach, va'ad koisel ha'azorah, all the way till tzofin, or till the wall, the tzofin wall of the Azorah. Ukeneged kol ha'mizbeach, and for the width, the whole 32 amos of the Mizbeach, from the wall of the Mizbeach until the wall of the Azorah, that is definitely considered tzofin. That is called tzofin. Divrei Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda took this at face value that the only place called tzofin is where the Yerech HaMizbeach, at the foot of the Mizbeach, those 32 amos adjacent from and adjacent to the Mizbeach, all the way to the tzofin wall of the Azorah, that's tzofin, and it's the only place that Kodshei Kodshim are allowed to be shechted. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Moisif, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon says, of course that's called tzofin, but I'll add even something else. Af ben ulam lamizbeach. If you go to a place which seems to be even more kodesh, even closer to the heichal, which is between the mizbeach and the ulam being the entranceway into the mizbeach, that whole area from the halfway line, from the middle of the entrance of the ulam, tzofin, is also considered tzofin. So our Mishnah is clearly not following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda, if you put the bull bein olam lamizbeach, you can't shecht it there, it's not called tzofin. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, he says that even bein olam lamizbeach, the tzofin side of it is considered tzofin, and you can shecht Kodshei Kodshim there. So our Mishnah must be following Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. However, there is a third opinion. Rabbi Moisif, Rabbi says, not only is parallel to the Mizbeach, like Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda says, and not only closer to the Heichal, like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon says, but even further away from the Heichal than the Mizbeach. Rabbi Moisif, af mokim drisas ragle akeanim, v'af mokim drisas ragle Yisrael. That whole area called Ezras Yisrael and Ezras Keanim, which is the area before the Mizbeach, also on the tzofin side of the Azorah, is considered tzofin. And then we have to understand, we assume that Rebbe agrees if he says that Ezras Kehanim and Ezras Yisrael is called Tzofin, of course the area closer to the Heichal after the Mizbeach is also considered Tzofin. So our Mishnah could be following either Rebbe or Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, and we'll soon have to see why in the Gemara said that it's Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. But in the meantime, the Braisa continues, Avol min ha-chalifo yisvulefonim, but, and as we know that the Ulam itself, the entranceway into the Heichal, was much wider than the Heichal, and on the right, far right, that means the far Tzofin corner of this Ulam, and the far Dorim corner of the Ulam, there was little two chambers. They were called the Shar ha-chalifois. The Chalif is the knives, where they would shecht which they would shecht animals with. And there were, and those two chambers were the edge of the Ulam and within the area of the Ulam. So what the Braisa is saying is from beyond and adjacent to the Ulam itself, it means the Ulam itself on the tzofin of the Ulam and beyond towards the Ma'ariv, all that is not considered tzofin, it's not considered Yerech HaMizbeach. Aval min ha-chalifo yiselefonim, hakel moidim shepostel, everybody says that if you shecht a korban beyond the most mizrach wall of the Heichal, of the Ulam, that it's not considered tzofin regarding Shechita of Kodshei Kodshim. Says the Gemara, Now we're coming back to what we said on the second line of the Gemara, having seen this brisa, where you've got Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that tzofen is only flash with a mizbeach. The Mishnah certainly cannot be following Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And then you've got Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says explicitly that Bein Ulam Ramizbeach is considered tzofen. So the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, v'loy Rabbi and not Rabbi. Because Rebbe says only the Rebbe, whether it's only or not, we'll see in a minute. But Rebbe says that it's the Ezra Tistral and Ezra's Koyanim which is considered Tzofin, and Rebbe doesn't make explicit mention of the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, no. Afilu Tamer Rebbe. That even Rebbe will agree that the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam is considered Tzofin, and one can shecht kotche kotchem there. Because v'rebi hashta ad Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda moisif, ad Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon loy moisif. If Rebbe already says that even an area further Mizrach, further away from the Heichal, then the Mizbeach is considered tzofin, which means ad Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda moisif, that not only flash with the Mizbeach, but even further Mizrach is considered tzofin, then of course he's also adding to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, that means he's going to agree to what Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon says, that the area closer to the Heichal, Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, is certainly also called tzofin. And if so, since we assume that Rebbe is also agreeing that between the Mizbeach and the Ulam is considered tzofin, then our Mishnah could be following Rebbe as well as it could be following Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why I assumed that our Mishnah is probably Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon and not Rebbe, even though they both agree that the area between Ulam LaMizbeach is called tzofin, and one can shecht to smicha on the korban and shecht the korban in that area. Anan hochi komrinam, because if our Mishnah was Rebbe, noikme bekula azara, just say that the bull of the Kohen Gadol could be standing anywhere on the tzofin side of the azara. You don't need to point out it's bein ulam lamizbeach, because Rebbe says not only flash with the mizbeach, and not only bein ulam lamizbeach, but even from the mizbeach all the way till the mizrach wall of the azara, till the Sha'ar Nikonor. If so, just say anywhere tzofin in the of the azara. Noikme bekula azara. Elomai, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. From the fact that the Mishnah specifies Beina Ulam LaMizbeach, we take it for granted that it's the opinion that says Beina Ulam LaMizbeach and doesn't say further Mizrach than the Mizbeach, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, V'noikme Bein Mizbeach Ulakoisel. Okay, you want to say that the Mishnah is following Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, but even on that we have a question. Why is the Mishnah saying? And why was the fact? Why did they put the bull Beina Ulam LaMizbeach, which is also considered tzofin? Why didn't they put the bull Beina Mizbeach Ulakoisel? Why didn't they put it flash with the Mizbeach, and then it would even be Rabbi Yehuda? Put it flash with the Mizbeach, because flash with the Mizbeach, that is the main Yerech HaMizbeach. That's the main place that the Kodshi Kodshim is supposed to be shechted. Why are you saying, don't put it where it's supposed to go, put it Beina Ulam LaMizbeach, which is also considered tzofin. Put it where it's supposed to be ideally. Elomai Yisloch LaMimer, what are you going to say? You're Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Even according to you, why is the bull Beina Ulam LaMizbeach? Okay, we understand it's allowed to be there, but why are you putting it there? Elomai Yisloch LaMimer, Mishum Chulcha de Kohen Gadol, because you want it to be the closest to the entrance of the Ulam and the entrance of the Heichal, in order that the blood of the korban that was going to be carried into the Heichal should be less distance, because the Kohen Gadol Meir was weak from the fasting, and we didn't want him to have to walk too much distance. And that's why, even according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, it could have been Al Yerech HaMizbeach, on the Tzofin of the Mizbeach, nonetheless, we say it's been Ulam LaMizbeach. If so, says the Gemara LeRebbe Nami, say the same according to Rebbe. It could be that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rebbe. You're going to ask according to Rebbe, just say that the bull could stand anywhere in the tzofin of the Azara. No, Mishum Chulcha de Kohen Gadol. Maybe the reason the Mishnah says that the bull should be Bein Ulam LaMizbeach is to impress on us that because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, stand the bull as close to the entrance of the Heichal as possible. And therefore the Mishnah could be not only Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, the Mishnah could also be following the opinion of Rebbe. Continues the Gemara, And this takes us back to the Mishnah. Roisha Ledorim, the head of the bull was facing Dorim, Uponov Lemairiv, and his face was facing Mairiv. How can the bull be also facing Mairiv and also Dorim? Says the Gemara, Omarav Ba'oikam Esreshe. That the animal was, the back of the animal, the tail of the animal was towards the Tzofin, the head was towards the Dorim, but it turned its head to face the Mairiv. Asks the Gemara, V'noikmi lehedya, why don't you let it stand straight and just let the animal stand with its head facing Mairiv and its tail facing the Mizrach? Omar Abaya says, I'll tell you why. Gezeira shemo yarbitz glolim, because if the tail of the animal is facing Mizrach, and let's remember the animal is standing bein ha'ulom lamizbeach, which means that the tail of the animal, the back of the animal, would be facing the Mizbeach. And what might happen is, yarbitz glolim, it will sprinkle some dung from the back of the animal, and it will be facing the Mizbeach. And that's very much not according to the covered of the Mizbeach. And therefore, the animal would not be facing, the back of the animal would not be facing the Mizbeach. And Rashi adds on, and even more than that, the actual back of the animal was not even flush with the Mizbeach. Bein ha'ulam lamizbeach was a very large area. And the animal was, the back of the animal was actually further tzofin than the tzofinmost point of the Mizbeach. And just the head of the animal was between the ulam and the Mizbeach. And that's how he would do, it would do smicha. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. Keitzad Tzemich, and this is now talking about not necessarily Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, it's talking about all Kochi Kochim, that they would do smicha, they would lean on the animal, and they would do the video, they would confess on the animal. Well, let's see what it says in the Braisa, in the Tosefta. Tonu Rabbonon. Keitzad Tzemich, how does one do smicha on Kochi Kochim? Hazevach oimed b'tzofin, the animal, the korban, stands on any area called tzofin. We discussed before what's called tzofin, but any area where immediately after the smicha they'll be able to do the shechita. So it must be on the tzofin. Kochi kochim have to be shechted on the tzofin. Upon of lemairiv, and the face of the animal is facing the mairiv. And Rashi adds here that the back of the animal is actually facing the mizrach. Not like we saw by the bull of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, where the animal itself, its back was facing Tzofin, and just its face of the animal was facing Mairiv. No, all other Kochi Kochim was not done bein ha'ulam lamizbeach, and therefore there was no issue of Yarbitz Glolim that would be facing the Mizbeach, and therefore the animal would just be facing, the head of the animal facing Mairiv, the back of the animal facing Mizrach. V'aseimich oimid b'mizrach uponov l'mairiv. And the person who's doing smicha, his back would be towards the Mizrach and his face would be facing Mairiv. Umaniach shtei yodov bein shtei karnois shel zevach, and he would put his two hands of the person doing the smicha, leaning on the animal, would put his two hands in between the horns of the animal. Ubilvat shelo yehi dov achoytes beinoi lebein hazevach, he has to make sure there's no separation, nothing interfering between his hands and the animal itself. He has to be directly on the animal. Umisvade, and he would confess. Now, it depends which korban is. There's a korban chatos, korban oshom, or korban oilo. So al chatos, if he's doing smicha on a korban chatos, avoin chatos, he would say a confession which is appropriate for the chatos he's bringing. Val oshom, if he's bringing korban oshom, avoin oshom, he'll confess for the avera that this oshom is being brought for. Val oilo, and if he's bringing korban oilo, then he'll confess avoin for the avera of leket. Shikcha or peo leket means the halacha that when a person in his field is harvesting his field and a few stalks fall down, leave them. Let the poor person take them, don't go back and fetch them. Shikcha is if you have a whole ream of produce, of stalks, and you left one in the field, leave it for the poor people. Peo is if you at the end of harvesting your field, leave one corner for the poor people. And these three, Rashi says, are not included in the vidui. That one says that when in the Beis HaMikdash they would say a vidui, that I've done everything I should with my produce. These three things are not mentioned. Maisa Rishon is mentioned there, Maisa Oni is mentioned there, but But Lekat Chirchanpeh is not mentioned there, and therefore the Korban Oila would atone for that. For the Avera of Lekat Chirchanpeh, Maisa Oni is removed twice. We don't have that in our version of the Gemara, because Maisa Oni is actually mentioned in the Vidui Maisers, as Rashi brings. Divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that the Issa, the Averas of Lekat Chirchanpeh are not included, they're not similar to any other lav, you don't get malchus for them, and therefore if you want to have atonement for it, you need to bring a korban. Which korban is it? The korban oila atones for it. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ein oila ba elo ala seva aloisa seshenitik la se." Bakiva argues with the Beis Yaglili, and he says that korban oila only atones for either a mitzvah asay that a person didn't do, or a type of mitzvah leisa said that malchus doesn't atone for. He doesn't get the lashes because it's a lav shenitik lasei. It's a lav which that one removes the severity of the lav and the punishment of the lav by doing a mitzvah asei. For example, if you steal, you're not allowed to steal. Lo yisignov, lo yisigzol. But if you do, v'heishiv hesegzela, to give back what you've stolen. That's a lav hanitik lasei, and there are many other examples. So a lav, where the Torah says, don't get lashes, just repair the lav by undoing the lav, so to speak, by removing the lav, by doing an assay, then there's no malchus. How do you get atonement for that type of lav? It's with the korban oila. So that is, we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, whether an oila is mechaper for leket shekhanpeah, or whether it's mechaper for regular mitzvah say and eloi sase lav hanitik laasei. Asks the Gemara, but mayakum iflegi, what are they actually arguing about? What is the point of the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili? And says the Gemara, so Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, we're going to have machlokes Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya. Rabbi Yirmiyah says as follows. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that they're actually arguing belav de nevela, regarding the lav of an avela, and we'll see they're not only arguing by the lav of avela, of novela, but what's happening, the way that they are going to view leket shekhanpeah is similar to the way they're going to view novela. What's the story by novela? It says in the pasuk that you're not allowed to eat a novela, and it says afterwards, lagera shebisharecho titneno v'acholo, what should you do with a novela? After it says the lav of eating it, it says what you should do is you should give it to a ger, and the ger asher b'sharecha. That is the lav. Now that's the asay that's printed in the chumish after the lav. But it's not a lav anitik lasay. Lav anitik lasay means if you transgress the lav, fix it by doing the asay. Over here, how do you transgress the lav of novela? By eating it. Once you've eaten the novela, you can't give it anymore to the ger asher b'sharecha. So it must be that there's two things. There's a mitzvah sasei. What should you do with a nevela? A mitzvah sasei, give it to the ger asher b'sharecha. And now, what's the lav? You yourself, don't eat it. So that's what the pasuk must be saying. There's no other way of understanding that asei. It cannot be a lav hanitik lasei. However, the asei is written after the lav, not before the lav. And that's going to be a discussion. How are we viewing this? Rabbi Akiva Sovar, lav ma'alyehi. Rabbi Akiva says that regarding nevela, it's a regular lav, even though immediately after the lav, there's an assay. But since the assay cannot be fixing the lav, the assay is telling you what you should have done. And instead of being over the lav, you should have given the nevela to the ger asher b'sharecha, and you didn't. So you have a lav. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, this is a regular lav, and therefore you get malchus on the lav, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Sovar, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, lav ma'al yahu. It's not a regular lav. A regular lav is one where there's no assay written after it. Here, virtue of the fact that it's written in the Chumash, the assay after the lav, is in order to impress on us, this is not a regular lav. And says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, if somebody were to eat nevela, he's not going to get the malchus. Ein loikin. And exactly the same way as according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Akiva says that by Nevela, even though the Lav is written, even though the Aseh is written after the Lav, we know it's not a Lav Anitik La'aseh, it's viewed as a regular Lav. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that since it's written after the Lav, it's not a regular Lav. The same will apply to Leket Shikcha and Peor. Even the Aseh of Leket Shikcha and Peor is written after. First it says, V'leket Ketzir Choloise Lakit, Elo La'onitas Venu V'loise Laktenu. And so Rashi brings here the psukim and says that the assay of Leket Shikcha and Peor, or some of them at least, is written after the Lav. According to Rabbi Akiva, we'll say, even though it's written afterwards, the assay is probably referring not to Lav Anitik La'aseh. It probably means that don't take the Leket Shikcha Peor for yourself, rather give it to the Oni, like Banavela. Don't eat it yourself, rather give it to the so Rabbi Akiva says that the Lav of Leket Shikcha and Peor is a regular Lav, and he'll get Malkus for it. And since you get Malkus for it, there's no reason for the Korban Oila to be Mechaper for it. The Malkus will be Mechaper. However, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, this is all according to Rabbi Yirmiyah so far, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that it doesn't matter whether the Aseh that's written after the Lav of Leket Shikcha and Peor, whether it's an Aseh that's a Nitik La'aseh or not Nitik La'aseh, he'll say even if it's not a Lav Nitik La'aseh, because it could be a Lav Nitik La'aseh, it could be that the Pasuk is saying don't take it yourself, and if you do, like Veheshiv HaZagzela, give it back to them. So it could be a Lav Nitik La'aseh. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says even if it's not a Lav Nitik La'aseh, even if you'll convince me and you'll say that the Pasuk is saying give it to the Geir instead of taking it yourself, and the assay is just telling us what you should have done, in which case it's a normal Lav. However, since the assay is written in the Chumash after the Lois Aseh, it's not a normal Lav, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, by Nevela. And therefore you don't get Malkus for being over on the Lavim of Leket Shikcha and Peor. If you don't get Malkus, who's going to atone for it? Says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's what the Korban Oila atones for. That's how Rabbi Yirmiyah understood what's going on here. That the main machlokes was by Nevela, when you have an assay recorded after a Lois Aseh, and the same would apply to Leket Shikcha and Peor. Abaya Omar, Abaya argues with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Abaya says no. De kule alma lav de Nevela lav ma'al yahava. And this is the only halachic difference that we see here between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya. Abaya says that even Rabbi Yossi Aglili will agree that Nevela is a regular lav. It's so clear that Legera Shebisharecho Titneno Vacholo cannot be going to fix the Lav, that Asay cannot be fixing the Lav, it cannot be a Lav Anitik La'aseh. Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili will agree that it's an Asay telling you what should have happened before you did the Lav, and therefore if you transgress the Lav, it's a regular Lav, and you'll get Malkus. Not like Rabbi Yirmiyah said. So what they're arguing about here, Havahacha, what the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili are arguing about, is Betazoiv. The mitzvahs Aseh that it says, that it's written in the Torah after the Lav of Leket Shikcha and Peor, when it says Tazoiv, you should leave it over for the poor people, they're arguing that this Tazoiv is written after the Lav, but is the Pasuk telling us what to do if you transgress the Lav, and then it's a Lav Anitik La'aseh, or is the Pasuk telling us what you should have done instead of transgressing the Lav, what you should have done is Tazoiv, you've left it for the poor person. And that itself is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, then it doesn't matter, even if it's clear that it was not a Lav Anitik La'aseh, nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, since it's written afterwards, he won't get Malkus. However, he was saying no. The only reason that you won't get Malkus is if you say that it's a Lav Anitik La'aseh, which means that it's written afterwards to impress on us that if you transgress the Lav, fix that by Tazoiv, by giving it back, leaving it, put it back and give it to the poor person. Then it's a regular Lav Anitik La'aseh. The Rabbi Akiva Sova, Rabbi Akiva says, Tazoiv mi korah mashma. Rabbi Akiva says that Tazoiv, even though it's written after the Lav, it's not telling us what to do if you transgress the Lav. It's telling you what to do instead of transgressing the Lav, which means that when you transgress the Lav, it's not a Lav Anitik La'aseh, and he'll get Malkus. And if you're going to get Malkus, I don't need the Korban Oila to atone for it. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is Sovar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili argues and says, Sovar, Hashta Mashma. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the reason that Tazoiv is written after the Torah records the Lav of is to impress on us that if you transgress the lav, you can undo it, you can fix it, you can remove the lav by doing the asay. It's a lav anitik la'asay. If it's a lav anitik la'asay, there's no malchus. If there's no malchus, I need to have the korban oilo to atone for it. That's Abaya's understanding of the machloikas of Akiva and Rabbi Yisya Glili. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Ketzad misvade. What is the formula of the confession of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim? What did we see in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah it says, V'kacho ya'oimer. This is what he would say. Ono Hashem ovisi poshati chotosi. Which is three different types of averus. Ovisi is amazed. It's doing something intentionally. Poshati is doing it not only intentionally, you're doing it in order to rebel. It's much worse. And then is the chotosi, which is a shoigig. But that's going to be a discussion here in the Gemara. It's machlekes tonu rabbonon to braisa. Keitzad misvade, how does the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, how does he confess? Ovisi, poshati, v'chotosi. That's exactly the order it says in our Mishnah. V'chein besoira mishtalech, and also regarding the goat that's going to be sent to the Azazel, where the Kohen Gadol is going to do another vidui, we're going to see there's going to be three viduim. But on the vidui, on the soira mishtalech, it says explicitly, what does it say in the pasuk? V'somach Aaron esteyodov al roish ha-soir ha-chai, v'esvado olov al kol avoinis b'nei Yisrael, he confesses for the averus of the whole of Klal Yisrael, v'es kol pish'em, so it first mentions avoinis, es kol avoinis, and then it says, v'es kol pish'em, the pish'em, that's the pesha, is the rebelliousness, and then l'chol chatoisom, those averus they did by mistake. So the same order that it says in our Mishnah regarding the bull, when he confessed for his own averus and the averus of his household, is the same as the Pasuk says regarding the averus of the rest of Klal Yisrael that was confessed upon the Soir HaMishtalech. V'chein b'Moshe, we find another source, by Moshe Rabbeinu Hu Oimer, it says in the Pasuk, Noitzer chesed lo'alofim, noisei ovoin ofesha, after they did the eagle, noisei ovoin, Hashem carries, Hashem forgives ovoin, Vofesha, v'chato, first the mezid, then the mered, the rebellion, and then the chato, the shegik. Divi Reb Meir, so that's the opinion of Reb Meir, and that's the opinion of our Mishnah. That's ovoin, pesha, chato. Chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say, no, it can't be, it doesn't make sense. Avoinois, elu azdoinois. What is an ovoin? It's the averus you did willfully, but intentionally. It's a mezid. V'cheinu oimer, where do we see this from? From the pasuk, Kidva Hashem bozo ves mitzvosoi hefer, he koris ti koris hanefesh ahi avoin obo. He gets chorus for doing an avoin, and it must be he did it intentionally. It's amazed. Pshoim, when it speaks about the pesha, what is that? That's rebelliousness. Elu hamerdim, those who rebel. V'cheinu oimer. It's a pasuk in Melachim. Vayelech veishlech el yishofot melech Yehuda leimer melech moyov posha bi. That the Melech, the king of Moav, he rebelled against me. V'oimer, and there's another pasuk that says, "Vayifsha Edoim mitachas yad Yehuda adayim azeh." Vayifsha means, and then the pasuk carries on, "V'oz tifsha livno beisahi," and then Livno, name of a place, rebelled at that time. So you see that pesha is rebellion. L'chol chatoisom. What's a chatos? Elu hashgogos. That's if a person does an avera by mistake. V'cheinu oimer, and we see that in the pasuk. Dabar el b'nei Yisrael leimir, nefesh kisecheto, that's the term of chet, bishgogo, mikol mitzvos Hashem, asher lo yaseh asenu, v'osa ha'meachas mehino. So you see that chatos, chet, is for shoigig. So says the chachomim, u'me'achar she'svade al azdoinis v'al amirdim, once the Kohen Gadol is already asking for a forgiveness and to be atoned for the averus that are done intentionally and via rebelliousness. Choizer misvade al ashgogos. He's now going to ask for those averus that were done by mistake. Of course, if even the averus that were done intentionally are atoned, then of course the averus that are done by mistake. So it wouldn't make sense to mention chatos at the end. Elo kachoyo misvade. The chachomim argue with Reb Meir. And they say that the formula, the term, the nusach of the vidui was chotosi, ovisi, uposhati. First the chotosi, the averus that I did by mistake, and then ovisi, those I did intentionally, and then poshati, those that I did from a place of rebelliousness. Lefonecho ani ovisi v'chulu. And now the chachomim bring a few proofs to this. V'chein b'David, David HaMelech also hu oimer. David HaMelech said, in pasuk in Tehillim, chotonu im aviseinu, he'evinu, Hiroshonu. which is again that the order is first chatos, then ovin, and then the resha, which is the similar to the pesha. V'chein b'shloima oimer, and also regarding shloima melech, the pasuk says in Melachim, v'yishivu el libam ba'oretz ashenishbu sham v'shavu v'hischanunu elecha ba'eretz shoyveyem leimer chotanu v'he'evinu roshanu. Again, so you have the chatos, and then the ovin, and then the resha. V'chein b'daniel oimer. It says the pasuk by Daniel says chotanu v'avinu hirshanu umaradnu v'soyim mitzecho mishpotecho. So you see there also first chatos, then ovin, then the resha and the pesha. Elomau she'omar Moshe. If so, how do you understand that Moshe Rabbeinu after the egel said noise ovin v'fesha v'chato? How do you understand that the Moshe first mentioned those that were mazed and merit, and only then mentioned the mistakes? Because what Moshe was actually saying to Hashem was not asking for forgiveness for three different categories: mazed, merit, and shoygig. No, he was saying he was asking forgiveness just for the merit and the mazed. But Moshe was asking Hashem how to view the mazed. He said, "Rabbeinu Shleilim, b'shoshi Yisrael choytim lefanecha. When Klal Yisrael do averus before you, voisim tshuva, and then they repent, they do tshuva. Aseilem zedoynes kishgogis. View the averus they did, b'mezid. View them as if they were a shoygig. So it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu said, 'Noise avoin v'fesha. You should forgive the avoin v'fesha and view it as if it was chata, as if it was just a mistake.'" So that's the Machlekes Rameh and the Chachomim. Omar Rabbi Bar Shmuel Omar Rav, who said in the name of Rav, Halacha is Kedivrei Chachomim, the Halacha, that what the Kohen Gadol, the Nusach of Vidui, that the Kohen Gadol would say in Yom Kippur, is like the Chachomim, first Chet, then Ovin, then Pesha. Says the Gemara Pshita, what's Rav coming to impress on us? Yochid v'rabim, Halacha k'rabim, it's an old rule. Whenever you have an individual arguing with more people, it is the majority, and the halacha is like the majority. Of course, the halacha is like the Chachomim and not Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, no. Rav was coming to impress on us that Mao de Tei Ma'aymer thought Mistaber Taimid Rav Meir, that the reason to follow Rav Meir is to come Masailei Kra, because Rav Meir brought a posuk that seemed to back up his opinion. And what pasuk was that? That's the pasuk we saw at the beginning. That it says, "Ve'isvada olov eskol avoinus b'nei Yisrael, ve'eskol pesheim l'chol chatoisam." So when it's speaking about the vidui of the soira mishtaleach, we saw explicitly in the pasuk that the term, or it seems from the order of the psukim, that he would first say avoin, then pesha, and then the chatos. So I may have thought that that's a reason to follow Rav Meir, because he brings in this context a pasuk, kumash malon, we'd not go with the word Moshe, kumash malon. So Rav was coming to impress on us that even though Rav Meir had a pasuk, the halacha is like the Chachomim. Says the Gemara, who do noch is kamei de Rabba? There was this shliach tzibur on Yom Kippur. He was saying the Yom Kippur avoda, and in front of Rabba, va'ovad ka Rav Meir. And whilst he was saying the Yom Kippur avoda, he said like Rav Meir, that first he said Ovoin, then Pesha, and only then Chato. Omar Lei, so Rabbi said to the Shliach Tzibur, Shovkas Rabbonon Vavdus Krab Meir? Are you rejecting or leaving the opinion of the Chachomim and following Rab Meir? Omar Lei, the Shliach Tzibur said, yes, Krab Meir Svirili, I hold like Rab Meir. Kudachsiv Besefer Raisa to Moshe, like it says in the Chumash of Moshe Rabbeinu. And indeed, that's the Pasuk that Rab Meir brought, Visvad Olova, Al Kol Avoinis Bnei Yisrael, Viskol Peshem Lachol Chatoisam. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. We learnt in the Braisa. V'chiper. The pasuk says v'hikriv Aaron is parachatos hasheloi v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad be'isoi. This is the bull that Aaron HaKohen did vidui on. He confessed on, and this would atone for his averus and the averus of his family. It says in the pasuk v'chiper would be atoned. The question is, or the Braisa is assuming that b'kaporos dvorim akos of medaber. Since the pasuk says that he would have an atonement, we assume that after the vidui, as soon as he says and verbalizes his confession, that's when he's atoned. Says the Braisa, Ato Oimer Bekaporas Dvorim. You say that the atonement took effect when he did the Dvorim, when he said the words, when he confessed. Oyeinu Elo Bekaporas Domim. Maybe it's only by the Zrikas Adam when the blood is going to be sprinkled. Hare Anidon? Says the Braisa, no. We're gonna learn a Gzeira Shova. Ne'emar kan kapora. It says here regarding the power of the bull, it says v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad be'isoi. It uses a term of kapora. V'ne'emar V'nemro le'alon, and regarding the soyer, the goat that's going to be sent to the Azazel, the soyer mishtaleach, the pasuk also says the term kapara. V'asoyer asha'ol olov agayro le'azazel yomot chay lifnei Hashem lechapir olov l'shalach oisu le'azazel amidboro. Ma kapara ha'amura b'soyer dvorim. In the same way as regarding the soyer, that's mishtaleach, the kapara is clearly taking effect when he says the confession, af kapara ha'amura b'par is dvorim. So too, the kapara of the par of the bull is also, it takes effect as soon as he says the vidui. Vim nafshach loimar, if you're going to try and refute that, you're going to try and bring proof from elsewhere differently, we don't yet know where this would be, the Gemara is going to tell us soon, then says the Braisa, I'll bring you another pasuk. V'hari oimer, the pasuk says, v'hikriv arin is parachatos asheloi, v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beisoi, v'shochat is parachatos asheloi. The pasuk explicitly says that from this pasuk, it says v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beisoi, even though the par has not even been shechted yet. It says v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beisoi, v'shochat is parachatos asheloi. So you see clearly that that the kapora, the atonement, takes effect even before the shechita. So it cannot be the Zrikas Adam, which is the bringing the Kapora, it must be the Dvorim. Asks the Gemara, Mai im nafshoch loimar, we brought Gzereshova, Kapora Kapora, that we learn the par from the Soyer HaMishtaleach. That over there, it's clear that there's no Zrikas Adam there. So the same way as over there, it's the Dvorim, which is Mechapir, so also it's the Dvorim by the bull. But then the Gemara says, no, maybe I'll learn out from elsewhere. What would you learn from elsewhere? Says the Gemara, we're going to learn later that there's a goat, that the avoida was done inside the soyer apnim, where there the atonement is clearly done by the domim, by the blood, by the zrikas adam. So I may have thought that you learn out from the soyer hanase bifnim, that so too regarding the bull of the kohen gadol, the kapora is the zrikas adam. For that the price is sent, harei oimer v'chiper v'adayin lo nishchat hapar, that from the posuk itself we see that we can understand that the kapora is even before the shechita. It must be the words of the confession that brings the kapora, and not necessarily the zrikas hadam. And Rashi brings regarding that soyer hanase bifnim, why is it so clear to you over there that the kapora is coming from the dam and not from the words, from the confession? So Rashi says, number one, the posuk there says explicitly that the kapora, it's written after the zrikas hadam, not before. And also, that on that soyer hanase bifnim, there was no vidui, there was no confession. So over there, it must be that the atonement came from the dam. So we thought that we learn, instead of learning kapora, kapora, the par to the soyer hamishtaleach, we learn the par to the soyer hanase bifnim, that the kapora is from the domim, not the dvorim. That's what the Braisa says, no, that the sequence of the posuk here by the par makes it clear that the kapora is before the shechita, it must be the dvorim, not the domim. Continues the Gemara. And we saw in the Mishnah that how did the Kohen Gadol say the vidui? He would say ono, a formula term used for beseeching, please, Hashem. He would say Hashem's name, and then ovisi poshati lefanecha, as we've seen. Uminayin sheba ono, what would be the source that this confession has the words ono? Says the Gemara, nema kan kapora. It says over here in the pasuk kapora, as we've seen. V'nemar la'alon b'choyrev, and it says later on by the Egel, it says ulay achapro ba'at chatoseichem, that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to have a kapora for Klal Yisrael, for the Egel. Ma la'alon, in the same as over there by Har Sinai, but after the Egel, but ono, it says in the pasuk ono choto omaze afkan, so too here, but ono, so too we learn kapora kapora, that from Chayrev we learn that also by the vidui of the Kohen Gadol he used the term ono. Uminayin sheba shem, and what would be the source that you refer to Hashem by one of his names, by his name, when saying the vidui. Nemar kan kapora. Again, here it says kapora. Nemar be'egla rufo, regarding the egla rufo, which is the calf that was beheaded when somebody was found murdered in between two cities. They didn't know who murdered him. Then the elders of the city that was closest to that point would take a calf and behead it. That's called an egla arufo. There also, it says in the pasuk, Kapir la'amcho Yisrael ha'shapodisa Hashem, it says the term kapara. Ma la'alon b'shem, in the same way as over there, by the Egla Rufo, it says, Kapir la'amcho Yisrael ha'shapodisa Hashem. Hashem's name is mentioned. Afkan, so to hear, the kapara is done by, or is one of what terms that are used, is b'shem, we mention Hashem's name. Okay, so that means we have in, over here by the Kohen Gadol, Ono, and Hashem. The Ono is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hashem is learned from Egla Rufo. So Omar Abaya says that it's interesting that the Braisa only addresses the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, that how do you know you say Ono, how do you know I say Hashem? The Braisa could have addressed by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk explicitly says Ono, but did Moshe Rabbeinu use the term Hashem? Should he have used the term Hashem? Like by Egla Rufo, and the same by Egla Rufo, Hashem's name is mentioned. What's with the Ono? What is that? Is that mentioned? Omar Abaya, Bishlei Mechirev Me'Egla Rufo Lo Yal. If we understand that the Braisa didn't go out of his way to try and understand whether you can learn from Egla Rufo, that Moshe Rabbeinu could have or should have used the word Hashem. Because the Braisa doesn't need to go into that. Maida Hava Hava, because it's no longer relevant. Whatever was done, was done. Elo Egla Rufo, Taluf Mechirev. Why does the Braisa not say that in the same way as we learn from Chayrev to Kohen Gadol, for example, that you say Ono, you should also learn from Chayrev to Egla Rufo, that you should use the word Ono. V'chitei mehochanami, and are you going to say that you're right? We do learn from Chayrev that even by Egla Rufo you say Ono, in the same way as we learn from Chayrev that by Kohen Gadol you say Ono. And indeed, by the Egla Rufo, the elders said, they said that the Ono, not only they used the term Hashem, they also used the term Ono. Are you going to say that? The Mishnah seems to say not this way. Mishnah in Soita Daf Membav. It says in the Mishnah, Hakoyanim Oimrim, it wasn't the elders who said it was the Koyanim. The Koyanim said, Kapir Le'amcho Yisrael Ashepodisa Hashem, etc. Ve'ilu Ba'ono Loika Omar. The Pasuk tells us what they said. And the Mishnah there doesn't say that you also say Ono. The Mishnah just tells us that the Kohanim said the words it says in the Pasuk, that they mentioned the word Hashem's name, but they didn't mention Ono. And says the Gemara Kashya, indeed, that has to remain a question. We don't know the answer to that. Continues the Gemara. V'hein oinin acharov. The people that were there in the Beis HaMikdash, who heard the Kohen Gadol mention Hashem's name, they would respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoy La'olam Void. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, in a Mechilta, Rebbe Oimir. Rebbe says from the following pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I call Hashem's name, Havu Goydel, give greatness Lelukenu to Hashem. Omar Lo'em Moshe L'Israel, Moshe was telling Klal Israel that B'Shor Shani Mazkir, Shmoish L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you hear me mentioning Hashem's name, Atem Havu Goydel, you should bring greatness to Hashem. And this would be alluding to the saying Baruch Shem after hearing Hashem's name. Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua Oimir, that from a different pasuk, the pasuk says Zecher Tzadik Livrocha V'Shem Rashoim Yirkov. So when it says Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, what does that mean? Omar Lohem Novi Li Yisrael, the Novi, it's a pasuk in Mishli, but the Novi was saying to Klal Yisrael, B'Shor Shani Mazkir Tzadik Oilomim, when I mention Hashem, who is the righteous of all the worlds, is the Tzadik Elamim, Atem Tnu Bracha, you should give a bracha to Hashem. And again, this is alluding to what it says in the Mishnah, that you should say when you hear Hashem's name, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoy, La'olam Void. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.